Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Welcome to Mama Shar's house, y'all. Be prepared to laugh, cry, pee your pants, or puke, as you just never know what's going to happen. So sit back, relax, and find your frequency. Here's the woman of my dreams, Mama Shar.
Hootie hoo! It's Tuesday. I love Tuesdays. Welcome, y'all, to the quirky world of Mama Shar. I'm so glad that you've tuned in tonight, whether you're catching us live or on a podcast replay. You can always find Mama Shar over on iTunes. Just search Mama Shar. Thank God I don't have any records up there because you don't want to hear me singing, but my podcast will jump up there, and you can listen at will, or you can always catch us on a replay at blogtalkradio.com, whichever your choice. But anywho, so proud to be here tonight. Can't believe that it's already February. Can you guys? I mean, it just seemed like it was Christmas the other day, right? But I'm not going to complain. This is the Tuesday after the Super Bowl, after Groundhog Day, after the full moon. Don't forget to cut your hair if you're growing it. Don't pluck your eyebrows or your chin hairs or your nose hairs because things will grow. That's all there is to it. On this time, you're trying to grow your hair long, be sure to grab those scissors and cut everything but your bangs. You don't want your bangs to grow as fast as the rest of your hair. So, yeah, I can't believe that, you know, Groundhog Day came and went. Little Booger saw his shadow, but I'm not going to fret it too much because I looked up his stats. And, you know, I don't know why we put so much faith in Punxsutawney Phil. His record is only 36% correct. I'm really hoping this year he doesn't raise his stats and we get some early spring because I don't know about you guys, but I have loved this weather here in Northeast Oklahoma. We've had days in the 60s. We've had nights in the single digits, but it comes back up the next day into the 30s and 40s, and that kind of winter I can handle, unlike the Northeast side of the United States. So, yeah, I'm not sweating spring getting here too early. I've enjoyed this winter so far, and just knock on wood. I don't know if you can hear that. It's real wood, though, not particle board, that we're going to have an early spring. So what do I have for you guys today? Oh, our Ask Mama Shar at the end of the segment is about relationships and compromise. You want to stay tuned for that, I tell you, because I know that was one thing that out of a 42-year marriage, it took a lot of compromise on both parties. And so I'm going to answer a little girl, Candace from Milner, Georgia, her question for that. Let me see, for social media. Oh, I started a new Facebook page. It's called Mama Shar's Free Ebooks. And this is on a day-to-day basis. And basically what it is when authors do promotional pricing, meaning they take it from $2.99 down to free just for that day or maybe two, 15 different groups and post them on facebook.com/MamaSharFreeEbooks. And you can Google that too. And then you can snag it for free that day. But if you lollygag and you wait till the next day, the price probably will have gone back to normal pricing. Authors do this in an effort to boost their rating on Amazon. And that helps authors, like when you buy a book and you look down here and say, other readers that were interested in the book you just bought also were interested in these books. Well, the higher your rankings are on Amazon, the more likely you are to get your book across that feeder at the bottom. So very important when you snag these free ebooks that you also go to Amazon and post a review. Good or bad, honest reviews are appreciated. We don't, as authors, really don't like to get those one stars, but that's how we grow. If we don't know what your honest opinion is of our work, we will never be able to put out better work. So I'm leading into this. I did create this Facebook page, and so I am popping it like maybe 10, 15 times immediately, one after another. I catch a free ebook. This shows up in your news feed. It can be very agitating. I know. I have some friends on Facebook that do the same thing. They're marketing to different people in my Facebook groups and my friends of friends, that kind of deal. And so I might see three different posts in 1 hour come from the same people. And so there is a way to handle this. You go up to, you can custom notifications for my page. And it's real simple. If you go up under to the left-hand side, upper left-hand corner of your Facebook news feed, and you can click off, turn off notifications for Mama Shar's free ebooks. You click that, and it'll tell you that it's okay. You're won't be seeing what I post on Mama Shar free ebooks, but please be sure and go back and check the page. Because, again, if you don't click them that day, you snooze, you lose, then you're going to lose out on some really good bargains. And I'm telling you, it has been unbelievable what people write about nowadays. It's almost like the print of YouTube. You know, YouTube, you can find out anything. You Google how to, and there's a video. Somebody has put a video out there. Well, the same thing goes for what I found this last week of doing these free ebooks. People write about everything. Everything, everything. If you're interested in learning, somebody's got an ebook out there for free to $2.99, $5.99, whatever, that will tell you exactly what you need to know. But just like YouTube and Google, we all have our opinions. These are just someone's opinions on the 12 best secrets of beating psoriasis, let's say. It was on there the other day. Or these are the best chocolate chip cookies in the world. Well, they might not have tasted your grandma's chocolate chip cookies, but to them, those are the best chocolate chip cookies. So you guys check out Mama Shar's free ebooks, but turn off those notifications if you want to. You're not going to hurt my feelings because I wouldn't want to see all these popping up on my news feed either, but please do come back. Tonight's show is another thing about parenting, motherhood. I've got Vicki Spencer on with me tonight. She has a Master's of Education. She is an elite life coach. She's been recognized in so many different magazines across the way. And she's going to talk to us about mothers who try to fit in a box and how that doesn't work out. Our musical guest is Marty from A Beautiful Tomorrow. And his song, The Guide, I love it. It's also about a child, but it's got an electric vibe to it, kind of like a meow, meow, yeah, you just wait and see. Just wait and see. It's awesome. It's awesome. So we've got a rocking show for y'all tonight, for sure, for sure. So I guess I'm going to unmute Miss Spencer, and I'm going to read her bio here for you to give you an idea of who you're going to be listening to. She is known as the Mom Whisperer, inspired women from every stage in motherhood to be their best. Her emphasis is on creating lives and families that flow with passion and purpose. Through her own experience helping her child overcome OCD and Tourette's, she understands the fight against guilt to care for oneself amidst crisis and caregiving. Her blog gives tips to help mothers with kids through the teen years to create phenomenal families. Vicki has a master's degree in education and was professionally trained by the Institute for Life Coach Training, an international coaching federation accredited institution. She also has a few clips published and has contributed to numerous books for moms, including one on postpartum depression. Vicki Spencer, are you with me, baby girl?
I am. Thank you for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for joining us. I just wish you had been doing this 40-plus years ago when my boys were babies. You know, somebody would tell me, because I had Irish twins. I had, my children were 10 and a half months apart.
And Oh, my God.
I know, and that was unheard of. But, you know, God blessed me with a husband that had strong maternal values. So I still have images of him on his knees in front of the toilet washing out those dirty baby diapers and gagging to the side but never missing a beat. So Yeah, I appreciated your blog when I went to it. And for the listeners, I forgot to tell you, it's themomwhisperer.com. And I highly recommend you go over there and check it out. She's got some really cool things. And we're going to talk later about some freebies on there and stuff. But I have to ask you that when you were struggling to go through college, losing sleep, getting that thesis out for your master's, was that for education, or did you ever think that maybe you were going to be applying that to your personal life?
That's a great question. No, it truly was for my education, and I'm a former high school teacher. So that master's degree was specifically because all I wanted to do was teach high school. I felt out of my league with younger kids, but, I mean, to this day, teens are just my heartbeat. So it was not even on the radar that I would use my education for being a parent.
Everything happens with purpose, though. And God bless you for taking on teenagers. OMG. I can't even imagine. I would probably be in jail because I'd be smacking somebody's little, you know, smart mouth for long. But in one of your blog posts, it's entitled Reimagine Motherhood, Permission Granted. I want to read something that you wrote. It just touched me. It says, what we most need is to reimagine motherhood that reflects our hopes, past childhood, and, oh, yeah, our children and who they are in the world. You know, I wish somebody had told me this, because I tried to fit into the mold of the only mother that I had, which was my mother-in-law, and she was a saint here on earth. So how did you come to this realization? Through your education, through your life experiences, both, or did somebody tell you?
I think what happened was I realized when I had a baby that I was truly out of my league. I mean, because my education was so much geared toward teens, I was out of my league. And so I asked a lot of questions. I didn't feel like I had a mother's instinct that kicked in very quickly, although I did. I just didn't feel it at the time. I felt like a fish out of water, and I needed to carve what felt like being a mom to me. Honestly, that was in pieces and over time. So there were points where therapy was included, which is where I realized how much of my parenting I was trying to not do in some ways that I was raised, and then in other ways I was trying to, but, you do what you know, and then, you know, to choose it differently, you have to know yourself. And then there was a point where you have to figure out your child, and that comes, you know, in the first year is a little tough because they're still forming so many things. But as I could factor in my child, I realized, you know, teeny tiny things along the way. I function really well as an introvert, so I can be engaged in things for a little while, but then I need space. And when you're a mom, you don't get that. And I realized after a while that he was an extrovert. And, you know, when you start to understand, you know, there's a me, there's a him, there's, you know, a past, and you can then start to create your own motherhood instead of what everybody else was doing, which honestly for me wasn't making sense because I was trying to learn about how the brain develops, and what I saw everybody doing versus what I was reading in science didn't gel. So carving our own path is tough but really necessary.
Well, I know in that same blog, I think you have three ways to get started to reimagining motherhood for ourselves. How did you develop these? And what are they, and why are they so important?
You know, everything on the blog really comes from my experience coaching moms, my experience with my own friends, and then, of course, myself. But these questions really focus on, I was thinking, what would I tell a mom who was open to saying, I'm willing to change some things, what do I do? which is a very common coaching question. So one of the first things that is on there is things you excel at and you do really well as a mom, because those are the things you want to keep. And the second thing is one thing personally you want to rock, but you're afraid it's not motherly. So my thing that wasn't motherly was I loved reading self-help books. I loved reading like leadership books. I loved reading business books. And honestly, like one of my very early books that I had side by side with What to Expect the first year was The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And I just wanted to rock being effective in the world, especially as a mom. And that's part of my strength. That second question is for moms who just need permission to say, as me as a person, what do I just love? Because that's part of reimagining, bringing that into motherhood. And then the last question was, or the last thought was, imagine your family a year from now. What do you need to be to bring everybody there? Like, best case scenario in a year from now, what could happen? What could a day look like? What could everything look like? And then kind of work backwards. And these are three, you know, really powerful ways to reconsider what we're doing, keeping what works and kind of having permission to expand where we need to.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Okay, on your site, themomwhisperer.com, I also have a blog entitled Why We Don't Reimagine Our Motherhood, where you state fear holds us back from reimagining what our ideas of motherhood are. Why do you think this to be true?
I think we're very aware as moms that whenever we make a shift or a change, it affects everybody. And sometimes we get into something that feels comfortable, although it may not work for us personally. And we see that it's kind of working for everybody else. So shifting and changing that is really scary. And I think we understand if we shift one thing about us, other things are going to shift. I mean, for example, if a mom says, well, I'm going to go work out, you know, three times a week. Wow, you've already possibly altered dinner time. You've already possibly altered, you know, who's making lunches the next day. I mean, this is a lot of shift and change when we just make one little change. So it's a fair fear that might hold us back. I think we're also afraid of guilt. Doing something for us that just feels like better and right, and is that selfish? And, you know, I think we're also afraid if it works for us, but it doesn't work for somebody else in the family, then what? You know, I think there's a lot of fears that we hold that may or may not be true, but that just happen because it's a lot of unknown. You know, we've done motherhood a certain way. We see people do motherhood a certain way. We see our family that we grew up in was a certain way. And so now we're trying to break that mold, and it is scary. And I think that's a fear to be honored and respected, but not not put in a place where it's going to hold us back.
Well, I don't want to jump the gun here, because in the next segment we're going to talk about competitive mom, but I couldn't help but sit here and think, you know, our household was pretty much like the show Roseanne or Malcolm in the Middle or The Middle or Modern Family. You know, there was, I hate to say this, but I don't recall. Now my boys are 42 and 43 years old, but I don't recall ever thinking, oh, this is, if I do this, then this is going to change and affect him and him and him and, you know, that kind of deal. I just did it. Not saying it's the right way, you know, because we were definitely functional, dysfunctional. You know, we without love, I don't know where my boys would have been. They just knew that no matter what their quirky parents did, it was always, always about their love, you know. But, yeah, I mean, yeah. It's like if we decided on a whim, it's like, let's go to Disney World, take them out of school, and let's go to Disney World, because we wanted to go to Disney World. We didn't think about, Well, did they have tests? Did they have homework? What, you know, what my action, the reaction to my action kind of deal. So, and I know on your blog, you have a video about a movie called Boyhood. And I did not see the show Boyhood, but I enjoyed your video immensely. So I want to know, what about that movie? Because in there you say you're not a moviegoer, but you decided to go see this and that you were so glad you did. So what about the movie Boyhood resonated with you so much?
So Boyhood, let me frame it like this. One of my guiding proverbs that I try to live by is something that says, Lord, teach me to number my days that I may have a heart of wisdom. And when you learn to number your days, like really make every day matter, sometimes it's really tedious and we can get lost in the bigger picture. Like every day I'm wondering, like, what's the moment we're going to remember today? What's the feeling? What am I working towards? So I'm really intentional. And I loved the movie Boyhood because it happens truly. This cast has gotten together for a week, 2 weeks, a month, however long it takes to shoot, for 12 years. So you authentically see kids grow up, bodies change, people get older, the family dynamics are changing, different marriages are happening, the kids are lost or they're found or whatever, and you see that happen. In the editing is completely amazing. There's a point, I probably was watching about almost 30 minutes in before I realized this kid is growing up, because it's so subtle and so authentic you almost don't realize it. And you know, in my video I was telling moms that this is what we need to inspire us. Because we need just kind of give us a little fast forward sometimes, maybe even of somebody else's life, to watch that what we do matters and our days do matter, and what we are investing that feels so tedious moment by moment, day by day, is this beautiful final tapestry of days all woven together that kind of culminates and kids launching. And I don't want to give the movie away, so I won't, you know, give any more. But I just felt it was so encouraging to moms at whatever stage their kids were in that it would provide a focus and an inspiration and a kind of an underlying purpose. This is kind of what we're aiming for. This is what we're going for, is a life, you know, and this is what life looks like. So that's why I loved it.
Well, I'm going to download it on Netflix, you know, since you said that, because I'm not a moviegoer either. You know, I mean, it has to really touch me for me to want to see it in the big screen kind of, so I'm going to do that. And as you're talking, I flash back to a video ad on Facebook where they were telling people that young people, you know, early 20s, I guess, that there was a position available. But it was a 24/7, you know, the worst reward, the longest hours, you know, and it was mother. It was the position that we hold. And so I think a lot of times as a mother and a father, you know, but we're just talking about mothers now, but as a mother, we really don't give ourselves enough pat on the back for being the glue that we are. And I don't know if it's a God-given trait that he meant for us to be like that, or because some, you know, like my mother wasn't like that. She abandoned me. But I know more mothers that are than mothers that aren't, you know. So I think that maternal instinct that you were talking about earlier, that you thought you didn't have, but then you found you had, that, you know, I think most of us do have it, and we don't give ourselves enough credit for what we do or what we did. And even as an adult, you know, a mother of adult children, I still think of them as being 6 and 7, not 42. You know, so it's like, that is, you know, it's like they're always going to get my opinion. I always can see them running with scissors no matter how old they are. You know, that's my job for sure. So after the music break, I would like to talk to you about the few perils of being a competitive mom. Like I was talking earlier, the only mother figure I had was my mother-in-law, and truly, truly, she was a saint on earth. And I am so far from being on that level that I found myself through the years trying to live up to and be that mom, but I just wasn't. I mean, I'm just me, and that's all I know to be is me. And so you discovered the ways to beat it. You even have a, I don't want to give it away because we're going to talk about it, but you have a quiz for competitive mothers. And then at the end, you're going to give a free mini course, 9 places to find hidden money for self-care. And then you're going to tell us what else we can do that. So would you come back with us after the music break?
I would love to. Thank you so much. Yes.
Okay. Well, go pee, wet your whistle, walk around, do whatever you want to. This song is about 5 minutes long. Okay, that's Vicki Spencer with the Mom Whisperer. You guys come back after the break. She's got more, especially if you're like I was, trying to compete with the other mothers in the family and friends that I had, trying to fit their mold. You definitely have to come back. She's got a great competitive quiz for moms on there. And then who doesn't want to find hidden money for self-care? But right now we're going to listen to Marty. Marty is the songwriter for A Beautiful Tomorrow, and this song is The Guide, and of course I downloaded it from YouTube, so the video is about children, and since that's what our topic is today, is about motherhood, I figured we could consider ourselves the guide. So you guys sit back. You can always find Marty's music at abeautifultomorrowmusic.com on YouTube and Facebook, A Beautiful Tomorrow. So let's sit back and listen to the guide, and then you guys come on back after the music break, and we're going to talk more with Vicki Spencer. There you have it, The Guide by A Beautiful Tomorrow. Go check out his music over at abeautifultomorrowmusic.com. Do a search for A Beautiful Tomorrow on YouTube, facebook.com/A Beautiful Tomorrow. He has 7 songs for free that you can download, so you definitely want to go check him out. Really a good groove. I like the electric vibe kind of deal. And we're back with Vicki Spencer. And Vicki is themomwhisperer.com. And she's had publications in Women Today, World Vision, Real Simple, other publications. She's contributed to numerous books for moms, including one on postpartum depression. And we know from a few celebrities that had dealt with that's a major issue. So you guys be sure and go check her out at themomwhisperer.com. Are you back with me, baby girl?
I'm here. Thank you.
Yay. Okay, well, before the music break, we talked about your master's in education and how you reimagined motherhood and its role in your son's progress with OCD and Tourette tics. Now I would like to talk to you about the dirty G word, guilt. Do you agree, as a degreed educator and a mother of a child with challenges, that our own God-given maternal guilt, you know, the one that I think we're built with it whenever we have a baby, we just have a mother's guilt. We know how to get that child to do what we want to, whether we use it subtly or do it like I do, you know, like, you're breaking my heart, you know, you know, that kind of deal. But does, you know, it's like, how much of this guilt plays havoc in our abilities to accept when things do not turn out perfectly with our children? They are their own human, but somehow we take it on ourselves. So how much does guilt play in this role?
Yeah, when we have a kid, we take so much personal responsibility for, like, everything to be amazing and awesome. And when it's not, we feel like we messed up. And in my coaching and in my own life, I have decided to move toward the thought that guilt is just not God-given. I think guilt is more of us trying to process or deal with ourselves, but I'm not clear that this is something that God actually wants us to have, because to me it prevents our growth. And so I think growth is totally God-given. That means, like, if we look back again, instead of feeling guilty over where our kids land or where they don't land or how they're doing or how they're not doing, we have to face these different places, like acceptance, control, perfection, kids, you know, these are things that we can choose to feel guilty over, or we can look and say, hey, you know what, I think this is a control issue for me. I think if I let go of the guilt, there's actually something underneath there. And, you know, during the year, I actually homeschooled my son to help him get over OCD and Tourette's, and it was because the year before, I was running to every doctor I could find, trying all the different medicines, Eastern, Western, you name it. And I just wanted to be able to homeschool him so that we could really narrow down what was going on. And during that time, I really had to do battle with, you know, when we talk about acceptance, control, perfection, can I accept if all of the interventions I'm trying don't help him? Can I accept that? And can I accept that this is not a perfect situation by any stretch, and can I accept where that is? And can I let go of control? So what I reframed and aimed for that year instead was, what was Jordan's best thriving? This was second grade. What does his best look like? That's all I wanted. So when it started with, no, I'm going to cure him, I'm going to fix him, I'm going to, you know, make sure this is taken care of, I really had to pull back and know the guilt that if he suffers with these things forever, I'm not going to say, okay, I completely failed. I can say I have absolutely done my best to help him unfold who he is without my own agenda. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does, but it's very admirable at the same time.
It's very difficult.
I mean,
it's not
like, yeah, for to be in that situation, again, the running with scissors kind of thing, you want your best for your child at all times. And for you to be able to sit back and just accept that you weren't in control of the situation, that you could only do what you could do, and the rest was really up to God and Jordan. But,
yeah,
you know, that's just admirable on so many levels. And along the way, that especially the year that you had him in school, did you compare yourself to other parents? I mean, when you realized that, you know, in your blog it talks about when you took him to, I think, Disneyland, and you were watching, you know, him, how he was. I think you have a little 3-minute blurb on your blog, and you showed an image of how your son was reacting to Disneyland. And it's like, at that point, did you ever look around and say, you know, what am I doing wrong?
Yeah, so you're referring to a video I have on the main website for speaking, and I just give a little blurb. The anxiety that he had at that season of his life, I thought would be helped by going to Disneyland. And instead, I completely down because he couldn't handle getting from one ride to the next ride, you know. And I was at a fast pace, and I realized, you know, I have to slow down. And I just realized there were things he couldn't. And here we were in the middle of Disney with a son that literally was shutting down where everybody else was having a blast. And I think when you're pushed to that extreme, you look and say, you know what, there is no more competition here. What we have to do is find personal best. And honestly, looking for personal best, looking for what works for your family, my own family at the time, stops competition dead in its tracks. Because you want to be first in that line, go ahead, have at it. I'll wave to you from the back, because my son matters so much more than being first in that line. And, oh, we're supposed to, you know, according to the Disney guidebook, we're supposed to do 5 rides, you know, before 12 o'clock and make sure you get on these rides. And I'm like, you know what? We need to eat. So we're not going to make those rides today, or we're going to have to regroup. So, you know, when you go for your own needs, your own wants, your own life, your own purpose, competition is not only not an issue, but it's not attractive. You almost don't even have the energy to look around to see what everybody else is doing, like especially in that situation. You know, although it was just completely heartbreaking, it was such a great lesson to let go of trying to fit in, trying to be better than, you know, it's not even an issue of competition sometimes. We just want to know if we're normal. You know, and that situation was like, nope, we're not normal.
Right.
So let's do our normal. Let's do what we need, you know.
Well, yeah. It's all right. You have 7 options of stopping the competition associated with motherhood. I would love to hear them and a little bit about each of them.
Yeah, so gratitude, being grateful for your kid, your family, what you have, you know, even if it's teeny tiny compared to everybody else, the fact that it's yours deserves gratitude. And so gratitude for sure. I always find that when I practice gratitude, I actually have way more than I thought I did.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah. And then the second one is identity. And this kind of alludes to what I was talking about before. Who are you? What do you want for your family? What do you want for your kids? Because when that's the focus, everything else kind of fades away. You truly don't have the energy or time to care about who's doing what so you can either copy it or do it better. The third thing is vision. So like a little bit like we talked about before the break, what do you want your family to look like in a year? You know, what do you want your finances to look like? What do you want your routine to look like? What do you want your relationship with your kids to look like in a year? And when that helps to reframe the choices and decisions, then competition seems really frivolous. Honesty is the fourth one. Sometimes we just can't compete. You know, like I said, we were in Disney and we're trying to race and we can't get to the front of the line. I'm like, bye, see ya, we're not making it.
Right.
So sometimes somebody's going to have the bigger vacation this year. Somebody's going to have the better baked goods at Christmas. Somebody's going to have, you know, whatever. So just be honest and say, you know what, this wasn't my year. This isn't it for me right now. And it's good. It's not even just okay, it's really good because this is who I am and where I am. And my energies are going elsewhere. The fifth one is celebration. So I truly mean by this to celebrate whatever somebody else's win is. So they're going to Hawaii, and you guys may aim for like a staycation over a weekend. You know what? If someone calls and says, we're going to Hawaii, I'm so glad. A great response to kill competition is, I am so stoked for you. I am so stoked. I couldn't be happier. You know, get me macadamia nuts or something. You know, bring me something back, but you go. You guys have fun. I'm so glad. That kills it. Kills competition. Sorry, that kills competition. The sixth one is perspective. There's always a backstory. You know, when somebody has something great that happens, maybe the people who are going to Hawaii have saved for that for 5 years. You know, you don't know what somebody's backstory is. And the last one is look around, because there's always somebody ahead of you and there's always somebody behind you. So competition looks a little funny when you're the one in the middle, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's not. You developed the competitive mom quiz on your site, themomwhisperer.com. This. And what advice would you give someone that scored fairly high on this quiz?
Okay, if you score really high, first of all, kudos to anybody who actually takes that, because we're all like, no, I'm not competitive. I'm fine. It's everybody else.
Right.
You know, like, okay.
I'm not competitive, but I know that six is not a good number, so I'm going to choose three. No. So, yeah, I get it.
if you go back and change some answers after you see the number, like what, the scoring guide, that's competitive. Okay.
Here's your sign. Exactly.
Okay, so if you score high on this mom quiz, understand deeply that your relationships are being affected, your friendships, possibly your marriage if you're married, or your boyfriend, girlfriend, partner, or significant other. You're also modeling for the kids. That this is what we do. We trump other people. So if you look at your kids and wonder, oh my gosh, are they competitive in some ways outside of sports? Then this can be turned around and this can be changed using, of course, the seven things that we just talked about, or just recognizing, oh my gosh, I think I'm a competitive mom. I need to just look at this. Sometimes just can start to help there and pull back and just change and make other decisions.
Okay. That makes sense. And, you know, I would consider myself not highly competitive, but when I took your quiz, I realized that I was competitive. I've always thought I was so free-spirited and didn't give a rat's patootie what people thought about me and would never live up, you know, try to compete with the Joneses. But as I look back in different areas, you know, decades of our life, since the boys are in their 40s, different decades of our life, Absolutely, I was competitive. Absolutely, I was. You know, so I highly recommend the quiz because it did open up a few things. Now it's not too late because I still, like I said, I still have my finger in their pies. I'm still going to mother them and tell them what's best for them according to my heart. You know, so this gives me a little perspective as well on this. And I want to talk about real quick, though, you have a free mini course for the listeners. And I'm curious, this is 9 places to find hidden money for self-care. Now, of course, my kids are grown now, but I'm curious about the 9 places for my self-care as well. Even not even talking about, you know, being the mother right now of small children. So what, where, how, when, how can we get this?
Yeah, so that course is completely free if you sign up for my e-zine, because those are my e-zine is my tribe. Those are my people that I'm giving a couple of extra little goodies that I don't give on the blog, or a couple of nuggets, or different studies I find, and I want them to have a little extra. So that course is the beginning of a beautiful relationship for the e-zine tribe. And my heart behind that course was self-care takes money, reimagining motherhood takes money, having a self in this world takes money. And what we need, and the thought behind it was, I need extra money. Like, we need to look for the money outside of the budget, because we all know there's the dentist, there's the braces, there's the books for school, there's the outfits, there's, you know, all money, groceries, utilities, all money is spoken for. So I needed extra places for money. And over the course of 9 days, and these are short, this is like a mini course. So each day is like 5 minutes or less in reading. I wanted it really, really short. But really powerful. So every day you have one place to look for money, either online, in your house, start, you know, doing different things. And a little bit of encouragement that you're worth the money you find. Because one of my fears is you start to find money and you, like, let it go. You're like, oh, here, I'll pay for McDonald's with the money I found. Or, oh, if we need a little extra something here, you can use the money I found. And I'm
right,
I really,
right.
really want, my heart is for moms to have, like, truly extra money and put in their pockets for resources, for fun, for their dreams, for whatever, that isn't taking away from the family because they've done a little due diligence to find extra places.
That's awesome. Can us old mothers join too? I mean,
say that
we
again?
Don't have to have. Can us old mothers join too? You know, we don't have to have like little snotty-nosed brats running around, do we? I mean, it's like I can hook up. But too late. I've already signed up, so you know,
yay!
You'll have to ex-name me if we can't. You know, but yeah, I'm excited because I do the same thing, and I'm a widow woman, but I do the same thing. It's like, I often speak of the scenario of I go into the store and I know I have a friend that's you know, not had such a good time of it lately, and I'll spend $20 on a bouquet of flowers
mm-hmm.
for her. But
mm-hmm.
when I go to the store to get mine, I'm over in the day-old flowers that might have a couple of days left over that are $4.99, and I sit there and I ponder, do I get one or do I get two? You know, just the day before, I was throwing $20 for somebody else. So, you know, self-care is so important, and we forget it. We actually forget. But I always see that I'm a big traveler, and I always see the airline stewardess putting the oxygen mask on her face first and then assist the child. And we forget. As mothers, we forget to take care of ourselves. So I'm excited for the 9 places to find hidden money for self-care myself. You know, so thank you for that.
I'm so glad you signed up. You know, I have dads on the list. I have women with no children on the list. I have, you know, yay, older moms on the list. And obviously, you know, all moms are moms, people are people, and sometimes we just need help in relationships and connecting either to children or each other, and sometimes ourselves. So, yeah, I'm so glad.
Yeah, me too. Okay, so if you had one nugget to give to a mom that was struggling with reimagining her motherhood based on her current situation, what would that be?
To dream big and be wide open. I think when we are struggling, we tend to look at the struggle. And we tend to look at all the reasons why, and we feel like we could never face all the reasons why and have to figure it out. And usually there's more. When you struggle as a mom, there's always, like, more than one place you're struggling in. It always feels like nothing is going right. So I think the way out of that is to not look at that. You know, to dream big, to think, what do I want? Just the question, what do I want, is an amazing thing. If you're a person of faith, pray. Hey, God, show me a bigger vision of what my life could be with these kids that you've given me. Show me what my motherhood could be like. If you're not a person of faith, then what's possible? Let's just take the struggles and put them in a basket and hold them for a minute where they're still there and say, okay, but clear slate, what do I want? And that's actually a really powerful shift to start changes, to start to be aware of something beside the struggle.
See the bigger picture. You know,
create a bigger picture. Create a different picture. Yeah.
You rock, baby girl. You do.
Yay,
and again,
thank you.
I applaud you for going to school all those years just to teach somebody else's teenager. You know, to me, that's just like, I would have to say, you know, in jest, you need a psych eval, but it's like, I'm glad you did, and because, you know, for your son, I'm glad you did also, because it gave you a different perspective. You saw bigger things for him than what society was saying was his thing. So tell us, where can we find you all over the place?
Okay, so you
where
can
will you
find
be playing
me.
Next? Yeah.
Yeah. Find me online at themomwhisperer.com. I am on Pinterest, themomwhisperer.com, whatever Pinterest is. And on Twitter, just Mom Whisperer. And Facebook, The Mom Whisperer. And sign up for the e-zine and stay tuned, because I'm halfway through writing my book called Mama Festo, and I'm still working on the subtitle, but that's the book's name, and I cannot wait. A lot of this information will kind of be hinted at in there, but so many good things from coaching. Of course, if I can help anybody with coaching, contact me, but you know, the blog has a lot of great information. Mama Shar, thank you so much for having me here. We can, you know, jumpstart lives just by starting to think differently about our parenting. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, baby girl. And when your book is done, will you come back and share with us?
Yes.
When you get it done? Okay.
That it's reduced and free, I want to put it on your freebie book.
Absolutely. There you go. Plug it, baby girl. Plug it. I love it. Well, thank you, Vicki Spencer, for taking this time to come help us reimagine our motherhood and give us a little, you know, hope, I guess, as you will, as mothers, that maybe everything we're doing isn't a crapshoot. Maybe it's actually purposeful and we're doing the best we can and we shouldn't have to fit into somebody else's mold. So I thank you for being on tonight.
Thank you so much, and thank you for the work you do with your show. You always have really great information for us. Thank you so much.
Thank you, baby girl. You be blessed.
You too.
There you have it, guys. Look her up, Vicki Spencer, themomwhisperer.com. mom.com, Facebook, the Mom Whisperer, Pinterest, the Mom Whisperer. She makes it pretty easy. Twitter, Mom Whisperer, drop the D. But check her out and definitely sign up for those 9 tips of where to find money. I don't care if you got a kid or not. That's 9 places you can find hidden money for self-care. So please go check her out. And here at the last, we're coming into the home stretch. We're going to do our Ask Mama Shar. You guys have anything you want to ask or say, hook me up at MamaShar.com, on Twitter, Mama Shar Blessed, Facebook, Mama Shar Blessed. I would love to. I always have the hashtag Ask Mama Shar on Twitter. So send me your questions. Excuse me. Your questions, your comments. I can't grow if you don't tell me how you like things or dislike things. You know, but tonight I'm going to read a little email I got from Candace from Milner, Georgia. It said, "Dear Mama Shar, my husband and I have been married for 4 years. It was a bad start, but smoothed out the last 2 years. We're starting to fall back into the fighting over small things. He likes everything his way, and so do I. How can we stop it before it starts?" Wow. Marriage, you know, relationships. We think that they're 50-50. They will never, ever be 50-50. It's going to be 60-40, 70-30, and unfortunately when it dips to 80-20, coming back is kind of difficult. So I'm glad you wrote in, Candace. First, I would recommend that both of you start reflecting back to the 2 years that where things were running smoothly and do more of that. The big thing of law of attraction that George Carradini taught me was, you know, not only wanting something, but feel how it feels to have it. Well, you know how it feels. Those 2 years that things were really good, you know that feeling. So you guys, when you start thinking about what was good during those 2 years, feel it in your heart. Remember the laughter. Remember the camaraderie, the companionship. Secondly, find a common ground. If y'all do not share the same likes, find something you do. If you don't know, create it. I don't care if it's, you know, you're having to go to hot rods and he's having to go to basket weaving and that's not working out, but if you find that both of you like tennis or like to play pool or something, immerse yourself in that. Because I'm a big believer, the couple that plays together stays together. I think what happens nowadays, and I talk about this in my book, Jesus in the G-Spot, we have a tendency to go off in our separate directions, and something as simple as Candy Crush or that electronic device called the phone that we use to check our emails, to play games, and be on social media, that takes away from our time from one another. And, of course, I'm an addict, so I'm preaching to the choir here. But I'm widowed, so I'm not taking his time. But, you know, you have to have that together time. That's all there is to it. Him having his friends is okay. You having your friends is okay. But there has to be a time where the two of you spend together. That's all there is to it. You cannot keep this relationship going, baby girl, if you don't compromise. And compromise is the primary key to any relationship. So I hope you've been blessed. I look forward to getting a feedback from you, Candace, that you guys are happy again and going to start a family rolling again. So I guess that's all for me right now, guys. I'm going to call it a night before they kick me off the air here. Before I go, as always, play nice, love God, and love your neighbor as yourself. But remember, you have to love yourself. Be blessed and tune in next Tuesday. And again, catch me at MamaShar.com, on iTunes, and at BlogTalkRadio.com. You guys be blessed. Good day.